Here's a few quick notes about the show. Southern Girl Crime Stories is a podcast focused mostly on lesser-known true crime cases that range from murders, missing persons, cold cases, soft cases, and more. Please be sure to check out my YouTube channel for these stories, along with photos of victims, suspects, locations of murders, and more. Angelica Maria Gandara was born on February 5, 1974, to parents Olivia and Humberto Gandara. In 1985, 11-year-old Angelica was living in Temple, Texas, and was close to her grandmother, who lived only a few houses away. Angelica was described as a quiet, timid, and sweet girl who had dreams of becoming a teacher. However, on a hot summer day in 1985, all those dreams were crushed. On Sunday, July 14th, Angelica was walking to her grandmother's house, which was less than 10 minutes away. On the way, she stopped by a friend's house and asked if she wanted to join her. Her friend declined, and Angelica continued on. After spending some time with her grandmother, she left to head back home, but sadly, she would never arrive. By 9 p.m., when her family realized she should have already been home, they went out searching for her. A couple of hours later, with no sign of Angelica, they called the police. Over the next several days, officers began going door to door within the neighborhood looking for clues as to her whereabouts. They soon learned that Angelica had left her grandmother's house about 5:30 p.m. and then was seen a couple of blocks away inside a 1977 Chevrolet pickup truck with an unidentified man and woman. The witness who saw her said the truck's hood, front fender, and bed were painted red and white, while the doors were blue and white. They said it was pretty much a dirty and ragged-looking vehicle. The day before, a neighbor reported seeing a blue car pull up alongside Angelica, who was playing with her niece between her grandmother's house and her own home. The driver of the car attempted to get her in, but she refused and kept walking. They circled around once more before finally driving off. A clerk at a Shamrock convenience store in San Antonio, Texas, reported seeing Angelica on several occasions in late July 1985, after her disappearance. The clerk said the girl, who resembled Angelica, would often get dropped off at the store by a man in a car and go inside alone while the driver waited across the street in his car. The girl was always very quiet and seemed tense and in a hurry when making a purchase. After learning about Angelica's disappearance, the clerk tried to delay the girl the next time she came into the store by offering her a drink and then going to the phone to call the police. But at that point, the girl's driver got out of the car, went inside, grabbed the girl, and told the clerk not to say anything. The clerk could never describe the man, and it's never been confirmed whether or not it was really Angelica. A person of interest in the case was Angelica's uncle by marriage, Ramiro Ibarra. 2 years after Angelica went missing, Ibarra broke into a home and kidnapped, sexually assaulted, and murdered a 16-year-old girl in Waco, Texas. He was eventually caught and sentenced to death in 1997. A former girlfriend of his would come forward and say that in 1985, he told her he did something very bad but wouldn't elaborate. He did, however, bring her to Cameron Park, 40 minutes away from Temple, and said he killed a dog there. She said she could even smell a very foul odor, like something decomposing, but never set eyes on the dog. Police brought cadaver dogs to the location, thinking Angelica's remains could be there, but nothing was ever found. Investigators released the name of another person of interest in 2007 named David Elliott Penton. Penton was arrested in Columbus, Ohio, for the abduction and murder of a friend's niece, 9-year-old Nedra Ross. He was also connected to the murders of 3 Dallas area girls. After being sentenced to prison in 1987, he allegedly confessed to his cellmate that he murdered Amber Crum, Era Johnson, Shannon Sherrill, and Angelica. They searched his home and tested Angelica's DNA against items in the home, but nothing ever matched, and he's never been charged with her disappearance. Unfortunately, as of 2023, Angelica has never been found, and this case remains unsolved. Heidi Lynn Seaman was born in North Dakota on November 16, 1978, to parents Curtis and Teresa. In 1990, 11-year-old Heidi was living with her parents in San Antonio, Texas. On Saturday, August 3, 1990, Heidi spent the night at one of her friends' homes. The next day, around noon, she left on foot, heading back to her house. Her friend decided to join her for half the walk. After her friend parted ways and returned home, Heidi was never seen alive again. She was last seen walking west on Stahl Road near Willow Run Street. Around the time she was last seen, a male with dark hair and a mustache was seen driving along Stahl Road in a red car with tinted windows. That man has never been identified. After Heidi was reported missing, a 21-day search involving around 8,000 volunteers was underway. During the search, over 1,200 square miles were covered around San Antonio. Meanwhile, on August 23, 1990, Erica Marie Patello was playing outside her West Side apartment when she also went missing. Finally, on August 25, 1990, a landowner in rural Wimberley, Texas, about 60 miles from San Antonio, found Heidi's body stuffed into two duct tape-bound trash bags. A day later, Erica's body was found inside a storm drain mere miles from Erica's body. While their deaths were considered unrelated, the community joined together to mourn the two girls and even held their funerals on the same day. As for Heidi's murder, an Air Force major by the name of Robert Eric Duncan became an initial person of interest after it was revealed that he threatened to get even with Heidi's father, Senior Master Sergeant Kurt Seaman, after a dispute at work. The dispute was over Duncan blaming Kurt for getting him transferred from the Randolph Air Force Base, where he worked as a psychologist. Interestingly, Duncan led the search efforts for Heidi. During this time, he was calling reporter Patty Hastings and trying to tell her about weird dreams he was having in relation to Heidi's disappearance. He was also calling and asking about the investigation and if FBI agents were in the area. However, he denied involvement, and a grand jury failed to indict him. Kurt still believes Duncan murdered his daughter. There was also a drug dealer that was looked into by the name of Jerry Neighbor. He became a suspect after a witness reported seeing a young girl with her legs tied to a chair just inside a rear door to his apartment around the time Heidi went missing. When asked who the girl was, he responded, "She's just a little meth whore I found somewhere." As for Erica, three men were accused of killing her, but due to lack of evidence, none were ever charged. As of 2023, both Heidi's and Erica's cases remain unsolved. Kelly Day Wilson was born on May 18, 1974. At some point, she moved from Natchitoches, Louisiana to Gilmer, Texas to live with her mother and stepfather. In 1992, 17-year-old Kelly was a senior at Gilmer High School and worked at Northeast Texas Video on Buffalo Street in Gilmer. She was in an on-again, off-again relationship with Christopher Michael Denton, who went by Chris. On January 5, 1992, at about 8:30 p.m., Kelly left work to drop the night deposit at the bank. The bank's surveillance footage caught a person dropping off the video store's night deposit, and while the footage isn't very clear, it's assumed to be Kelly. After that, she was never seen again. Early the next morning, her stepfather called the police after finding her 1985 Dodge Charger sitting in the video store parking lot with one of the tires slashed. Inside were all her personal belongings, including her purse, but her keys were missing. 2 days later, her keys allegedly showed up in the front yard of their home. Sergeant James Brown led the investigation and immediately suspected her ex-boyfriend, Chris. He was known for his hot temper, but police didn't have any evidence to link him to her disappearance. Chris died in 2004 of cancer. Investigators eventually discovered the culprit behind Kelly's slashed tire, a teenage boy by the name of Michael Bibby. He confessed and was convicted of a misdemeanor crime. In 1994, 2 years later, the case took a shocking turn when Sergeant James Brown, along with Eugene Kerr and his associates, eight people in total, were charged with Kelly's kidnapping and suspected murder. The Kerr family was also charged with child abuse relating to their children. Allegedly, they were all involved in kidnapping and imprisoning Kelly for over a week. During that time, they allegedly sexually assaulted and tortured her before finally stabbing her to death. According to prosecutors, the family was involved in a satanic murder cult and was even responsible for the disappearances of teenage hitchhikers. It's all a good story, but come to find out, the cult never existed, and within 2 months, all murder charges were dropped. The story behind the cult came from the Kerr's family children. They claimed they were forced to have inappropriate relations with the adults and watched people dressed as devils conduct ceremonies in the woods. 27-year-old Connie Martin, the wife of Danny Kerr, even confessed to sexually assaulting and stabbing Kelly to death. She's also the person who led investigators to Michael Bibby, who confessed to slashing Kelly's tire. However, she would later say she lied.
Apparently, a lot of their evidence rested on the fantasy that a woman who was described to me as having the IQ of a fern dreamed up.
Other Kerr children would also come forward and say their confessions were coerced. By the end of 1996, all indictments against the Kerr family were dropped, and they were all released from jail. They later tried to sue Special Prosecutor Scott Lyford, but the case was thrown out in federal court. While Kelly's boss, Joe Henry, isn't considered a suspect in her case since he had multiple alibis and passed a polygraph test, he was arrested in 2004 for charges relating to inappropriate materials of minors. Sadly, as of 2023, Kelly has never been found, and this case remains unsolved. Linda Ann House was born on October 1, 1956. In 1985, 29-year-old Linda was a divorced mother of 2 young sons living in Dallas, Texas. She was also 8 months pregnant with a baby girl. On the morning of November 8, 1985, Linda woke up her sons, got ready, and hugged them before heading out for the day. Sadly, her sons would never see their mother again. At the time she went missing, she was dating a man named James Watkins, who went by Jim, who was also the father of Linda's unborn child. Jim owned an architectural firm called Watkins Associates in Dallas, Texas. Strangely, after her disappearance, investigators contacted Jim, but he claimed he didn't know her. The next time they attempted to speak with him, he had already lawyered up and refused to talk. It's alleged that Linda went to visit Jim on the day she went missing. Months later, her car was found abandoned in a parking lot where she and Jim were known to meet. However, since it was 1985, before DNA was widely used, no samples were collected from the car. Years later, her son contacted the Department of Public Safety about the case, and they took his DNA and ran it through a national database, but no matches were found. Sadly, Linda's son, Chuck Harrell, has since passed away. In 2020, her family raised enough money to hire a private investigator to help with the case since the Dallas Cold Case Department hasn't generated any new leads. As for Jim, it appears he passed away on May 7, 2021. Unfortunately, as of 2023, Linda has never been found, and this case remains unsolved. Monica Cassandra Carrasco was born to Catherine and Raymond Carrasco on December 13, 1986. When Monica was younger, she became a devout Christian and regularly attended church. She loved Bible studies, and by the age of 6, she was already volunteering to read scripture out loud to the congregation. Her nickname in middle school was Happy Happy because she always smiled and brought positivity to the room. Sadly, all that would change when her father suddenly passed away in 2001 when Monica was 14 years old. By 2003, 16-year-old Monica had spent the last 2 years depressed and suffering from anorexia, which led to severe weight loss. Her mother became so concerned that she had her admitted to the hospital. Monica was extremely upset at her mother for doing that and decided to move in with her Aunt Velma and Uncle Abel once she was out. On October 1st, 2003, at 11 p.m., Monica headed off to bed. A few hours later, her cousins checked on her and she was still asleep. The next morning, her aunt got up and started cooking breakfast. By 7:30 a.m., when her aunt went to check on her, Monica was gone. They initially thought she might have gone for a run, but soon realized that her Bible was missing, but her socks, shoes, and other belongings were still in the house. This means Monica most likely left barefooted. It wasn't hard for Monica to get out of the house because she had a door in her bedroom that led directly outside, and it was found unlocked after she went missing. When the police were notified, they began searching on foot, horseback, four-wheeler, and even by air, thinking maybe she just got lost. However, after covering a 10-mile radius around Lake Balmoria, there was still no sign of her. Her family believes she was disoriented due to her medications, left the house, and caught a ride with someone. Investigators then learned that Monica had been allegedly harassed by her school bus driver. She didn't report it, but was so uncomfortable with the situation that she refused to ride the bus again. However, he was eventually cleared of involvement in her disappearance. Unfortunately, she wasn't going to school anyway because her psychiatrist had recommended she stay home until she got better. After her case was picked up by the 18-Wheel Angels campaign, which consists of truckers who post missing persons flyers around the country, there were reports of a female resembling Monica being seen with an older trucker. However, the sighting has never been confirmed. As of 2023, Monica has never been found, and this case remains unsolved. Thanks for joining me today on Southern Girl Crime Stories. Please be sure to check out my YouTube channel for these stories, along with photos of victims, suspects, location of murders, and more. As always, your support is very much appreciated, and I look forward to seeing y'all next time.